about today, I had a portion of scripture that you guys, most of you, would be very familiar with, and you would know it well. And so that's the trick here. You guys can go like, oh, I know this, and miss out on what God wants to do. So the story that I want to quickly speak about, I'm encouraging myself, is the story of the sower, the field of the sower. And so you guys know the story. It's the story of there's four different types of soils that is out there. And the sower sows, and the first soil falls on the wayside, falls on the hard side. If you have a field of land, the roadside of it, not the proper land. And obviously the seed there doesn't take root. The birds in the sky come and picks it up. And then the next sort of soil is a shallow soil. It initially takes root, but it never breaks free, and it never grows further. The next part of a soil is a seed that is thrown, and it's in good soil. The problem is it's just accompanied with all kinds of weeds and all kinds of other things. And even though the plant is growing, it's competing with the weeds. And sometimes the wheat is going to overtake the real thing. It's just starting to choke the life of God out of us. And then lastly, it's the good soil. Now, this is the interesting thing about the good soil is the good soil has the potential to bear fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold. I've always thought about that scripture. You know, sometimes I feel like the Bible is a little bit exaggerating in that type of things. Are you serious? Every word that goes out has the potential to multiply 30, 60, 100-fold. But over time, I've seen it when hearts are truly right and truly willing to receive the word of God. A word as simple as can be can multiply and change somebody's life. And the same word will come in the, you know, with people that's in the same meeting or in the same context, and it will bear little fruit. I realize your growth and who you are, I'm running ahead a little bit here, but your growth and where you are has got very, very much got to do with the condition of your heart. How much you're going to grow, how much you're going to stand up out here, it's going to be determined by the condition of your heart. And if people don't grow and people stagnate, whatever they can say, it's so easy. It's just a reflection of your heart. You don't grow because your heart is not in this place. If there is some testimony of word and seed that is thrown towards you. But so let's, Jesus then explains the portion of scripture. So let's quickly go there. Where's my AV? Matthew 13. Here then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and in another 30-fold. So the first one, you know, as we would see, is obviously it's on the pathway, it's on the not the rocky road, it's not on soil. And Jesus is mostly referring to the unbelievers who the God of this age has blinded their hearts so that no word can penetrate it. You know, before you were saved, whenever the word of God would come to you, it would be this like boing, boing. It will have no effect on you. You know when you speak to people and the word of God just has zero effect on them. You know when you got saved that the same word would come to you and you go like, this is incredible, this is amazing. It's not that the word is different, the condition of your heart just changed. And so God comes and he touches our hearts, the light of the gospel shines in our hearts, and suddenly our hearts are able to receive the word of God, and it makes all the difference. But I also believe that even as believers, we can condition our hearts in such a way that it becomes so hard that the seed will drop in it and have zero effect on it. You know, Hebrews, if you can read it, Hebrews 3 verse 7 says, let me read it. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me for test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with this generation and said, they'll always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. It's fine. As I swore, yeah, it's fine. So I want to quickly tell you guys a story. We all know the Holy Spirit, which sometimes comes and convicts us. His word will speak to us and do something. And we know the feeling when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, you know, it bugs me. I need to do it. And usually we've got two choices in that time. You can either obey it. It's like a radio that's out of tune, you know. Until you obey, and then it's back in tune. And so, but I don't want to do it always. This is really bad, but it's going to ask me to do. So it's no. What I've realized, if you continue to ignore the, it becomes softer. That's wonderful. So I've realized if I ignore the long enough, it becomes softer and softer until it gets away. But it takes some persistence, endure resisting God. It takes some time, but if you are willing to persevere and endure, that voice is going to get quieter and quieter until it's gone. I always thought okay, God has given up, so that's great. I win this part. But I realize that's not the case. The case is not that God has given up or God is not speaking. It simply means my heart has gone hard and I can't hear God anymore. God has not stopped speaking. He didn't tune down the radio. It's just my heart that went hard. I told the story last week in PM, but when I just got saved, or my first 3 years of salvation, I really wanted to be the most hardcore Christian in the world. So my dream was to be a martyr. It was like, kill me for Jesus. Just please, kill me for Jesus. In fact, that's what I wanted to do. And so I didn't want to get married because, look, John the Baptist didn't get married. Jesus didn't get married. Paul didn't get married. Lukewarm guys marry, right? I realized that's not true after all. It's easy. And anyway, so. So one day, there's a bunch of us that went to have pizza. There was a pizza that we would have gone in some place. And as I got into my car, I felt the Lord said to me, "I don't want you to order pizza." I don't know why. It's like, okay. But I'm now I'm starting to wrestle here. Everybody's expecting me. It's this 2-for-1 type of deal. So I said to the Lord, "Listen, God, if this is going to be a 2-for-1, meaning somebody is depending on me for a half-price pizza, then I'm going to have the pizza. But if each pizza is half-price and no one is depending on me, I will not order a pizza." So I get into the pizza place, and I'm asking, "Guys, what's the deal?" And they says, "Don't worry, each one half price." I say, "Can I quickly have a pizza?" Before that voice comes quickly, I order my pizza. And before that voice can really infiltrate my heart, I flip and chow my pizza. "God, did you speak?" I just speak to people, you know, I'm just engaging. And I know at some stage I need to get back in my car alone. So I'm trying to hang with people as long as possible so that I don't have to face God again. And so I'm like, "Please," you know, and after a while everybody's leaving. He's like, no, don't go. And finally everybody is leaving and I need to get back into my car. And I'm driving back and I'm like, "God, was that you?" No, it wasn't. I thought it was my own thoughts, you know. I was like trying every way possible, but staying there. Now I'm feeling really bad. Listen here, I wanted to be killed for Jesus and I chose pizza above him. This is really embarrassing, you know. And me admitting just how lukewarm Christian I'm anyway. So I'm, you know. And I can feel there's a battle of my heart right now. I can feel if I'm going to ignore this, it will go away, but my heart will be hard. And then at some stage, I just, God, you know that I heard you, and you know that I'm disobedient. I'm sorry, God. Oh, and right there, the peace of God just flooded my heart again. Suddenly, my heart stays tender and stays soft. And I could hear God, and I could connect with God. But it was that moments that you guys find yourself often in, where it's that thing. Are you going to take the fight on and ignore it? Or are you going to bend and obey God? The second classic one of keeping my heart hard. Do you guys know that the only way that we receive the Word of God, I considered it again today, and it just blew my mind again to know that the only way that we can receive the Word of God is in our hearts. Meaning, your intellectual ability does not give you any advantage in dealing with the Word of God. Meaning, whenever a word comes out and you goes like this, I know that. You have just operate in this level. And it will have zero effect on you. The Word of God is not information that after a while you could say, I know that. The Word of God is living and alive. And something as simple as God loves you can have every time a powerful impact on your life, because it's not merely information that you process intellectually and say, I know that. And I tell you guys, here I am. I've so many times positioned my heart in this way. When a person speaks, I know that. Boom. Will have no impact on my life. This week, I was with a bunch of pastors. Some of them serves God. Some of them are longer in ministry than I am old. You know, you would read the first syllable of a scripture and they could complete the chapter. You could start your sermon and the first syllable, they can complete your sermon. You know that there was a program way back, Noot for Noot. And one of it is you had to guess the song. And then depending on how many notes they give you, you know, the less notes you have, the better you were. And some guys, one note, and they could tell you the whole song. Some guys are so savvy. Some guys know their Bible so well. Some guys have learned so much that one note, and they can tell you everything. And some guys in that meeting, they were one note guys. You give them one syllable, they'll tell you the whole sentence. They can unfold it. They can tell you exactly what you want to say and add three chapters with it. And I saw those men. It impacted me greatly. I saw this man in a position like children. It's God. Here's my heart. Change me. God, I don't know. Reveal to me. Reveal to me. Shift me. Change me. Guys that position themselves of words that they know out of their head going, God, you're speaking. Truly like children versus people that go, know that one. So in our minds, what is Gerda? Gerda had the word earlier this year that one of the enemies of us growing will be people that's merely just processing with our minds. And a condition of this, I'm just saying, that's where I find myself, I know that, is a classic. Heart is hard. Classic one is also, and we all have it, going in this meeting and saying to myself, I'm not changing. Look, I'm going to sit in the meeting, and when they clap hands, I'll clap hands. When they nod, I'll nod. I'll do my thing, but I'm not changing. You say it subtly. It's not like a very determining thing, but you're like, oh, I'm not changing. Guess what? You're not going to change. Congratulations. You're going to be true to the determination of your heart. You're not going to change. Listen, unless we repent of that condition, we're staying exactly where we are. Exactly. I see this guy the whole time, so I want to use him as an example. Look, Ruan, sitting here. Ruan is a pastor's kid. He's a PK, all right? He grew up knowing everything. He's taught, I know his parents, godly people, high regard for the Word of God. As a child, this guy had the download of the Word of God every day. He's been with us for a long time. Great guy, faithful guy, sit with us. I come back from Russia, and I'm going like, what's going on with Ron? What on earth is going on with this guy? He's just different. Every time he speaks, there's just life and power out of him. So we have coffee the other day. He says to me, man, I don't know what happened. God has opened my eyes. I can't get enough of God. Just something of his heart has just shifted. And suddenly the same things that he grew up with and heard 1,000 times are suddenly just bearing fruit. It's just changing in front of me. It's not that the words are different, but the heart is different. And suddenly there's just growth. Second soil. It's rocky ground. Now, I just want to tell you guys, every word of God has a certain journey. It goes like this. So you get two types of words of God, just quickly. Objective word of God, subjective word of God. The objective word of God is when it is not subjective to any person, time, period, or something. It's always true for all people. God loves you. That's always true. Okay? You are saved by grace through faith. I can't say, guys, I just feel prophetically God wants to say today that for this day, for this moment, there's a window open that you can be saved by believing in Jesus. Well, it's true, but it's always true. Faith in Jesus saves you. But then you get a subjective word that is subjective to you, to a specific time, place, whatever. Go to Russia. God spoke to me, go to Russia. I will be very bad if I preach that in this. Maybe I should, you know. You guys should go to Russia. If you're not going to Russia, you'll be disobedient. I can't do that. That's subjective to me, to a specific time and period of my life. I can't put it on other people. By the way, some people make that mistake many times. They take the subjective word and they make it an objective word. It's just freebie. But so as that word, whether objective or subjective, he will always have a certain path. And this is how the path goes. Usually when the word of God strikes our heart, the initial response is always like, whoo-hoo. It's something in us that excites us. It's just so, if our hearts is in any way soft, when the word of God strikes us, it's like, you've got the words of life. It's just so awesome. But let me tell you another thing about the word of God. Every time there's a word of God, every time it will go through a time that it does not feel nice. There's gonna come a time where God says, go to Russia, and just, you guys hear what I'm saying here? Where the initial excitement suddenly doesn't feel so exciting anymore. With everybody, that is the case. Second thing is what the Word of God will always have at some stage, that which God has speak, which is going to be so exciting, at every time, suddenly there will come a time that all the evidences speaks contrary to the Word of God. It says God spoke to you, but when you look around it just seems contrary. Those battles of every seed needs to go through that initial woohoo, and then it hits that place where it's going to have either, this is not nice anymore. God called me to stay in Stellenbosch. This is so awesome. 2 weeks in the line. Why did I stay? This is not nice anymore. Right? Amen? You know, God asked me to go to Russia. Woohoo! I've got no money. This can't be God. No, that's just how it works. I promise you. But here's the difference. Every time a person comes to that stage, this is where the shift comes with. When many people comes to the initial, woohoo! And then the rock hits. And how they respond then will determine whether they will be people of any root or any depth. And so I've seen people that the Word of God comes to them But they never repeat, they never complete the cycle. They never have the testimony of lots of fruit. They always have the testimony of an initial, whoo, they might be people that move from church to church. Because it's nice there initially until I have to do actually what they say, you know. Let's go to a new one. Try again. Try again. And it's repeat, repeat, repeat is the cycle of their lives. I'm telling you, there is hope. But the first one is going to be the hardest. When you have to take the word of God and contrary to what you see with your eyes and contrary to what you feel, hold on to the word of God. And that first breaking through that rock. And then a second time. Until you find people. I recently seen people, a person specifically, that has broken through that crust. You know. And before, where that same person would have, every time it becomes tough, bails out, suddenly the person, I know, it's impossible for them to bail out. Even though he says to me, no, I'm gonna leave, this is not nice. I said, this is now just talk, I don't believe it anymore. You've broken through, you've been gripped, sorry, you're too deep into this. God's got you. And so I want to ask us, you know, I want to say to you guys, the Word of God, if you're going to be a Word of God person, yes, I hope that's strong. I promise you, there's going to be a time where you're going to be in the boat with Jesus and all that you're going to have is come. You're never going to fly out of that boat. It's always at some stage going to cost like, Jesus says, come. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe it. Let's just pray about that again. Jesus said, I must come. Yes, Jesus. Can we just pray? Thank you that you said I must come. No, no, no. I said, come. Oh, no, no, no. Let's just pray about it. No, no, no. I said, come. Just step out. No, no, no. I'll just praise you, Jesus. No, 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 no. You can't avoid this following God. You can't avoid this. And as you do it more and more and more, it's become easier and easier and easier. It's that initial. Then, thirdly, it is the weeds. Naomi gave the word about the joy of the Lord, right? And said, like, God wants to restore the joy of the Lord in our hearts. You know, I think much of how we've come out of charismatic circles is, this is some altar calls that we all have. Who of you have lost your joy? It's like 20 people put up their hands, they all come to the front, line them up, and the preacher comes like, joy, 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 joy. It's like, oh, they laugh and, oh, it's just wonderful, you know. They go out, they bump their heads and, oh, God's terrible, you know. God really wants to build deeper foundation than this, that. But you know when initially the things of God excite you. You know when one glimpse at that cross, oh, and your heart floods with joy. You know when that feeling becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. So that when you look at the story of Jesus and what he did to you on the cross, it could just as well be looking at William Wallace for that thing. You know, it's just, oh, that's 20 years ago, a movie that, anyway, Braveheart. Anyway, and why is that, you know? Should we just come again to the front and just have that, oh, joy? Or is it because we have not been good stewards of our hearts? Because if we sow and allow things, and I'm not saying outright sin like porn, but we sow in our hearts things that is not eternal, things that is not Christ. We lend our eyes to so many things. We've got a heart of a garden, and we just sow things in it that slowly but surely, the excitement of Jesus is just choked. And we go like, oh God, just restore to us the joy of our salvation, as if we have no responsibility to our hearts. You know, what your heart is full of, your mouth will speak. What's the conversations? I mean, this is so simple. You want to know what's going on in your heart? See what you speak about. What comes out of your mouth the whole time? And I'm telling you, what comes out of your mouth is what your heart is full of. And what your heart is full of is what you sowed into it. You've sowed into it. You know, a while ago, or many years ago, we must be careful, you know. Many years ago, I felt the Lord said to me, I must pray more. I said to the Lord this. I that was my understanding of my theology. God, unless you move my heart, I cannot pray. It was like I was in full dependency of Jesus. I said, God, unless you move my heart, I can't pray. I heard the Lord say, just pray. Okay. And sometimes we justify a passivity concerning our heart's condition and not take responsibility for it. I'm going to say to you guys, I've never in my life used this verse. And that's the pastor's favorite verse. I'm going to tell you guys now what it is. I've never used that verse, but I felt today to use it. It says in Hebrews 10, do not neglect the gathering of the saints as the day of the Lord approach. My thing is, as a church, we don't disciple by attending meetings. We disciple people by coming to Jesus. Our meetings fill this purpose for people to come to Jesus. That's the way that I want to approach things, and that's the way that I want to go. But I just felt there is something in us that we have neglected to sow well in our hearts. For instance, to stay true to quiet times. For instance, to stay true in the Word. For instance, to stay true in prayer. For instance, to regard our meetings. I'm telling you, this meeting here will be have a better effect on your heart in regards to a passion for Jesus than not being at this meeting. And I really just want to challenge us, you know. Ron, he started the prayer meeting off this morning, and he said, like, we know, Jesus, that everything starts from a revelation from you. And that's really how I want to build. I want to build to a place that I don't get people to attendance. I get people to Jesus. That's really, I promise you, that's the way that I want to approach things. I know Jesus changes people's lives, not attendance. But I want us, listen here, there's a flip side. But then we need to position ourselves to a place that our hearts are sown into the things of God are sown into our hearts. Then we can't have our hearts in a place that we sow everything that comes about in our hearts, everything that excites us, everything that comes around. We are bad stewards of our hearts. And then we go like, Jesus, where are you? We have a responsibility to our hearts, guys. And I just want to ask that we would once again just search, what are we sowing in here? What are we regarding? What are we keeping? Then the other thing that this weeds is the cares of this world, the worry of this world. Do you know that every person in here, every person in this room fight with worry? All of us deals with worries. All of us deal with cares. This is part of the Christian thing. A fruitful soil is a heart that is at peace. A bad soil is a heart full of worry. Paul says, it just struck me again. Paul says, whenever I think about you, yes, guys, I think about you all the time. I must confess, I think about the church all the time. My wife says, stop thinking. Stop speaking to me about the church. Stop doing it. I think about the church all the time. I can't imagine what was Paul's mind occupied with. He says, whenever I think about you, I consider and I mull about it in my head over and over and over. No. He says, whenever I think about you, I pray. I pray for you. You know what I do sometimes? I've got lots of worries in my that goes in here. I've got my top 10 worries. And then I go like, oh, shucks, I need to get to this. And then I start worrying about I start figuring it out in my head, go through it 1,000 times, then go to the next one. Until I went through all 10, I start from the beginning again. You know, and of course, thinking about it over and over will change the situation. It doesn't. It just messes up my heart more and more. And my heart becomes consumed with these things. And as soon as I'm not looking on the Lord anymore, and this worry starts consuming me, I see the word of God goes. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. There's this battle for peace. Look, all of us have worry here. All of us have worry here. All of us have. All of us needs to battle this one. And if we're going to allow worry to just strike our hearts, we lose the power of the word in our lives. If we are able to take worry and just say, God, take this one. We bring it to you. We keep this heart soft. We keep this heart full of God and not full of worry. The word of God can grow in our lives. Can we have an attack? I want us to pray for this one. Can we have an attack on worry? It's like we can't allow that in our lives. And listen here, this is again, charismatic classic prayers. We pray for circumstances to become perfect. No, that's not what Jesus has promised. But he's promised in the midst of this, you can look unto me and you will find perfect peace. We will have peace in our lives, not because circumstances necessarily change, but because our hearts are fixed on the Lord. Right. And the last one, obviously, that's the fruitful soil. I'm just quickly just going to read you this verse, Galatians 6, verse 8 and 9. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. It's just so easy. It's just so easy. You sow in your heart with flesh, you're going to reap flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Every seed has a journey. And the problem with the seed, I wish it was like this. I sow it today, it bears fruit tomorrow. But the seed for a while is just missing. It's just you don't see it. And then the first sprout comes out. And it takes time to be watered. It takes time to grow. It takes time to ultimately come to the place that it matures and bear fruit. Probably what's going on in your heart right now is what you sowed a couple of months ago. Probably the fruitfulness that you are walking in right now, the things that's occupying you, the things that you're walking, is what you've sowed in a couple of months ago into your heart. But know this. That if you sow, and if you are true to sowing, and if you are true to that, in due time you will bear fruit. One of our big enemies of fruitful soils is that we don't endure and we back out because we don't see the results. Amen. All right. Let's pray. But before we pray, look, before I'm catching you guys and go like, close your eyes, and you all know what I'm going to do now, all right? And then I've got hearts that is already so guarded. I know what he's going to do. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak to you guys as adults, you know, as normal people. We're just going to, I want us to consider our hearts, guys. It's really, it's the point that's going to determine whether we're going to grow or not. And I want us just to make right. If you know that your heart is in any of these conditions that I mentioned now, we're just wasting our times. If our hearts are messed up, we're just wasting our times. We're just going to go through the motions every time and nothing is going to change. Unless you are fine with that, then it's fine and you don't have to respond or deal with it, you know. But if there is something in you, I want a heart that can bear fruit. Can we just take responsibility for our hearts? Can we determine to pluck out weeds? Can we determine to break through the rocky grounds? Can we determine to see that we are prospering in the Word of God? So I'm gonna tell you guys what I'm doing. So no surprises, right? No surprises here. I'm gonna just let us just close our eyes, wait upon the Lord. And then each one, just make right with God. There where you know you have stuck, there where you've known you've not been a good steward of your heart. You've not been a good steward of the Word of God. So if you guys can just for a moment, just be with the Lord. And Father, we just want to present ourselves, present our hearts before you. Some of us don't even now need the Holy Spirit to suddenly give us a vision of what's wrong. We know. Most of us know. We know when we were bad stewards of our hearts. We know when there's places where we allowed really the joy of the salvation to go out just because we have been bad stewards of our hearts. And God, we want to say this. We want to take responsibility of our hearts. We want to take responsibility of our hearts. So just want to give you guys time to speak to the Lord, to determine where you're going to be good stewards. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us where we have not dealt well with your word. Father, where we have ignored your voice. Father, we've allowed our hearts to become hardened. Father, there where we have sown in the flesh, there where we have sown and given our eyes and ears, not to outright sin necessarily, Father, but we have just more bombarded it with the things of this world. Father, if we're honest with you right now, our hearts is consumed with so many things other than you. Father, we want to be good stewards of this heart. So Father, I pray that you will be kind to us. And Lord, as we turn to you, that you will pluck out weeds quickly. That you will remove them quickly. Father, the effect of worry and the effect of care will lose its power over our minds in Jesus' name as we turn to you. Father, I pray that this church will be known that the Prince of Peace that crushes, hallelujah, the Prince of Peace that crushes Satan underneath our feet will rule in this place. When you rule, there is peace. And Father, we want to speak to these minds in Jesus' name. Peace be still. Father, we want to speak to these hearts and these emotions. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for this soil to accommodate your word well, Father. And Lord, we will see a harvest of 30, 60, 100 fold in the way that people will grow and the way that people will mature in this church, Father. We honor your word, God. We honor your word through the eyes of our hearts. In Jesus' name. And as you guys are there, I just want to give an opportunity for those that if you are honest, you know, you've never really stepped into a relationship with God. And you want to say today, that is me. And again, this is my tester. This is my litmus test. If you are not sure that you are going to heaven, if you would die today, if you're not sure, if you're still fearful, where will I go if I would die today? You probably are not in Jesus. And so if that is you, if you can just, I won't embarrass you, I won't make you stand, I won't do stuff like that, I just need you to give me your hand so that I can pray with you. So if that is you, can you just put up your hand so that I can just pray with you?